welcome to everyone here tonight. And we publish the preached gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we just ask that the Lord will bless them. Can we go on now to read a couple of verses in the scripture? Can we go to Ezekiel chapter 36 and read a portion from there? Ezekiel chapter 36. And the Lord speaking to his people Israel who had proclaimed his name among the nations, and he was speaking to them prophecy about how he would sanctify himself in them before the eyes of the nations. And he declared what that God shall do. And verse 24 here says, I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and union. So that would be Ezekiel 36, 24 to 28. Now, just go back to. If you prefer just to listen, just listen as I read, and I'll come to the question. We're over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 14, Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth there, and of the ministry which he has toward the Gentiles, toward all men, he says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. In other words, Christ's love was working in him to compel him. Because we thus judge, but if one died, that is Christ, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. And rose again. And then over to one day. We'll read a portion of this chapter. The previous chapter ends with the Lord Jesus Christ at the time of Passover being believed on by many witnesses. It says in verse 24, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. And then we come into chapter 3, and though he did not, he needed not the testimony of man, now we're going to have the Lord give his own testimony, a true testimony of man, and man's need. It says in chapter 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, or where it wills, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, for a future of Israel, and knowest not these things. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we do know, and testify what we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ telling a testimony of mankind. What an ideal candidate Nicodemus turned out to be, but to take and set before our eyes, and to use him for to testify of mankind in general. And you want to show the complete worthlessness of a thing, or the complete uselessness of a person, or humanity as a whole, you don't take the least. And on the basis of the failure of that which is the least, made an argument for its uselessness as a whole. You don't take the worst of men and take them and show their absolute failure and their inability, and make an argument on that failure and inability as a general principle concerning the whole of mankind. You take that which is outstanding, that which is, has tried, and that which has given its best, and that which is attained to great height, and you show that thing that stands high, that man that stands tall, to be unable, completely unable, to achieve anything in God's sight. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ does in this chapter. Nicodemus is a great man to show our need, and the Lord Jesus Christ will testify of man to speaking of his hand. Look what Nicodemus does. He comes. And it says in verse 1, a ruler of the Jews is a ruler. But this man had heard the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he heard the Lord Jesus Christ, he was compelled to seek the Lord Jesus Christ to learn something. This teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ, has asked him during the chapter, are you a master of Israel? Knowest not these things? But she was speaking about that spiritual work. In other words, Nicodemus, what are you teaching? You're a teacher. You don't know these things. What on earth are you teaching? But Nicodemus was drawn to learn of a man that he knew was a teacher come from God. Do us good to ask tonight, why do we come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do we come to a place like this where believers meet? Why do we come where the scriptures have opened up and where they're stored? Why do we hear about anything religious or say up in a general sense? What is our motive? What is our purpose? Nicodemus had a purpose in life to follow the Jews' religion and to excel and go to the place where he's a teacher of it. The Lord Jesus Christ put this underscored the fact that he had missed the whole heart of the Lord has seen to man and all the scriptures. Nicodemus comes and asks what we should all ask. Learn from a great teacher. A man who's teaching, and really about he missed something. That here the man, a teacher, comes from God, I need to go and speak to him. He has an answer for me. And many things are said about Nicodemus, why he came tonight. We don't know really why he came tonight. He was a teacher. Maybe he was so busy during the day teaching disciples. Discipling men, sitting there answering hard questions, and he gives us traditional answers. And the answers that the Jews have been taught to pass on from generation to generation. Each generation added something, taken away something, and it told it had nothing but a master tradition, and only that clear. No wonder that the demons was asked, are you a master of Israel? You must know these things. The tradition of man is depart so far from God, and the Lord Jesus Christ will recognize you are a rabbi and a teacher sent from God. What does the Lord Jesus Christ say to Nicodemus? Straight into the heart of it. Never mind all these things. I'll take you on that very thing you say. I'm a teacher come from God, you'll listen and learn. If you recommend this about the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know nothing else about the Lord Jesus Christ, but if he's a teacher sent from God, that very recognition should fill us to silence for listening to what he has to say. And what he says to this man, this great man, this man who had reached such a great height, and the reality of just something, the Lord Jesus Christ starts to answer his question. Jesus answered and said to him in verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, truly, truly, make no mistake about this, the Lord said. In spite of everything, unless you have been born again, you shall not see the kingdom of God. Now that's not a preaching in the gospel in itself, did it clear that to me? That's preparatory. We need to understand that we have fallen short of God's kingdom. We've missed it. We are not part of it. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching. No religion, no place that you may have attained to in life through following traditions, even through your desire to be godly and following set ways and traditions, without spiritual birth, without being born again, nothing can get you into God's kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to show us the Nicodemus here. And Nicodemus doesn't even really understand what he says. He said, what do you mean? And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, Nicodemus had an understanding of what was seen, but didn't understand it right. You know, the Jews made converts from other religions and from the heathens and the pagans and people who had no understanding of God's word. And when they had taught them, and taught them their traditions, and taught them this is God's way, which Nicodemus thought he was following. And a man from another nation had said, yes, I want to follow the God of Abraham. And then taught what the Jews said was God's way, and subscribed to that and said, yes, I want to become a Jew. They were taken, circumcised, and they were also baptized to their nurse. And they were taken out, and it was a sign of being born, opening. So Nicodemus understood that part, the need to be a new birth. But he didn't understand how it applied to him, because different to a convert from another nation and from another religion, here was a man who was born a Jew. He was a man who had been circumcised. He was a man who had risen to a high standing in the Jewish religion. What was he to be born to? Was he not already in it? Was he not already in it? How could he be born again? What could he be born to? And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to show what he means. It's not so much being born from you, the Lord Jesus Christ has seen that. But it's the kind of birth that's in you. The kind of birth, the nature of birth. The Lord Jesus Christ is someone who was a Jew all the days, a man who was a teacher of the Jewish religion. And he said this, listen to the way the Lord speaks to him. And he's speaking directly to Nicodemus, because his question was, how can one be born? Can a man enter back into his mother's womb when he is old? And he's speaking about himself. Here I am, an old man, teacher. Can I be born again?
and sin, for Lord Jesus Christ says no. And what do they, what is he pointing to? Look at the worst. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. It's the kind of birth that's in you. That which is born of or from the flesh. The Jews had a religion that departed from the word of God. It was no longer looking to the anticipated the Messiah coming. But many in Jerusalem, and the big mass of the teaching fraternity in Israel, were no longer teaching faith in God, faith in the coming Messiah, but believing he was coming as a political and a religious ruler, but that they could follow him in their own strength, as long as they applied themselves to the rules and regulations which the rabbis had set before them. As long as they had done the do's and lived to the don'ts of the law outwardly, and their own efforts. That which was born of the flesh, this whole tradition, this whole idea of being right with God through works of the flesh, man's efforts to keep the law. The Lord Jesus Christ says, that which is born of the flesh, whether it be a convert from another religion or another nation coming into Judaism and going through this ceremony of being born into the Jewish nation, born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, not work of the flesh. Coming to God is only flesh. It doesn't bring a spiritual relationship with God. Even for a Jew, they're offering that religion. Their efforts, the works of the flesh, that which is born of the flesh, they were born from their parents physically, they were born from their nation physically. And there they were, working physical things, only doing physical things, and Nicodemus had missed. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. One might be needed to be born over again. Not to this religion, not to the flesh religion. You need not to be a disciple of Judaism, a disciple led by other rabbis. And you need not to be a teacher who is teaching of your flesh others to follow the rabbinical system that Jews lead. He's saying you need to be taught of God. You need to be convinced of God. You need to learn of the Spirit and to be brought into this new relationship with God through the working of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that's all it is. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And Nicodemus is challenged. Notice how the Lord Jesus Christ, this great one, doesn't say he needs to be discipled over again only. He doesn't take him to his bar mitzvah when a Jewish male became a man legally and nationally at the age of 12 or 13. He doesn't say you need to become a man all over again. He doesn't take him back to Jewish circumcision and say you need to be circumcised all over again. That would be a mistake. He says you must be born. What's the significance of that? That's how you what I was saying. It's not so much the birth of sin world, but it's in you. It's what is born. Sin doesn't start at birth. David wrote in the 51st Psalm, verse 5, he says, behold, I was shaken in iniquity from the working of the womb, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Sin is part of our nature, it's inherited from our spirit. At the point of conception, all that we ever shall be is there, seed form, sinners from the word go. When the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about that, we must be born again, speaking about the revelation of what man is. We know a child, what kind of child a child is, when it, only after it's born. It's when a child is born, we begin to see the nature of the child. When my daughter there, Patience, I see already, she already blatantly defies when we tell her not to do things. And she understands when we want her to do certain things, even at this young age. Our child was born a sinner, but her sin nature was conceived. And the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing before us the nature of man
And he said to Nicodemus, it's not just that you need to be born again, you need to be not what you're brought forth, that kind of person that's brought forth, as one that needs to be conceived, needs to be brought forth and formed by the Spirit of God. And that's the kind of person that needs to be brought out before the Spirit of God. That which is born of the flesh, of the Spirit, is Spirit. And he's going on to say, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And he goes to explain to her, the wind blows where it lists, Nicodemus asked him, how can these things be? What does the Lord Jesus Christ tell him? He said, listen, take an object lesson from life. You're so concerned, you've been learning all your days, you've been teaching all your days, but by your own confession, you don't know everything. You appear to learn from me. Let me teach you something, you don't need to know everything. Do you know where the wind comes from, Nicodemus? Answers, no. Do you know where the wind's blowing, Nicodemus? No. That you know the winds of life. That's enough. And he's saying to Nicodemus here, and he's saying to us, at the outside of Christ here today, we don't need to understand all these things, but you need to understand. God needs to do a work in you. It must be God for you. Not your efforts. A new creation, a new person, that which is conceived from the Spirit of God and brought out before God as a new person, that type of person needs to be born. And it tells Nicodemus, all you need to know is that God will do the work. That's what he's saying there when he speaks about the wind. You hear the sound there, but you don't know where it comes from, where it goes. And God works, and you know God is convicting you in your heart because of your sin. You don't need to be asking, where's that coming from? God's working. When you understand it, I can see that Jesus is one of your people. You don't need to be asking, where will it go from here? You need to be concerned with God working. And God working with the wind, hear the sound of it. Listen. Nicodemus, the teacher, has subjected himself to listen as a student rather than a teacher, and to learn of the Lord. And the Lord is teaching him. Listen. Accept this testimony. He didn't understand all that the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching him. You don't need to know all, but you need to understand these key things. God's presence in your life. You need to be born of the Spirit of God. Born from above. And then he goes on. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And the Lord Jesus Christ is telling him, Nicodemus, here he is saying the old one. He's been a teacher, he's failed to understand the heart of God's message, and he's here to learn it from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust and hope that we all are here tonight looking to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does he say? The Lord Jesus Christ is declaring that he is the Lord from heaven. Look what he says. He says in verse 13, no man hath ascended, it's showing his authority to teach. Nicodemus had recognized that, a man that a teacher sent from God. But he must be sure that I'm more than a teacher, said from God. I am actually the Lord from heaven. I've been sent from God, Nicodemus, in a way that you have no idea. I have not been just raised up in the nation of Israel, and God has directed me as a teacher. I came down from heaven as the Creator. He says this, he says, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. The Lord Jesus is saying, I've ascended to heaven. I've come down from heaven, I've ascended to heaven. So I've been this to and fro from heaven and earth in the Lord Jesus Christ's life. And he says this, considering himself, here this man, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Even while he was upon the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ occupied room in heaven. How can that be? Not his physical nature, but he is God incarnate. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the one who was walking on the earth in a human body was sitting in all the fullness of glory in heaven. And filling up all the fullness of all space and time and eternity. Because God changes not. And he's saying, this is the authority. And this is it. I'm the one who has just lived on the apart from you, Nicodemus. And then he goes to show the basis of how Nicodemus could be rid of his own blood. He shows how effectively Nicodemus, everything I believe is a waste before God. You're standing in Judaism. You're standing as a Pharisee. You're standing as a great rabbi who teaches others. As absolutely a waste before God. Now, if that's the case with Nicodemus, how do we think we thank the Lord Jesus that we've not been born again? I don't mean anything like Nicodemus, but is there anyone here who's achieved the same sort of standing in our nation? Who in Scotland knows you? Who in England knows you? What would you do? Here's a man who is a rabbi, a teacher of the nation. In comparison, what are we? And our works. And the Lord sees such a great one as nothing. Such achievements are waste. What have you achieved? Well, you say that you're the Nicodemus, I do. Do you know something? Whatever we've achieved is a waste and no sin. The scripture says that we are saved by grace, not works. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. And he goes to Nicodemus and he's showing him, since your life is a waste, as far as having any spiritual merit before God, as far as bringing into the kingdom of God, as far as anything, the last thing is concerned. Here's the answer to how you can be severed from that. Have all that waste taken away. Have all that rubbish, that which has tied in, that which is like a weight taking you to hell, that which you are proud of, which God sees you loving in. Here's how you can be severed away and you can be free. And he takes him to the cross. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. But whosoever, even you, Nicodemus, and even you, whoever you are, trusting whatever you're trusting in, that which God frowns upon, because it's not of hand, not of his spirit, but of your own works. Takes you to the cross. Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, and he's taken them back, taken that demon's back in his English, he will be back in Israel's wilderness. And they were going through the wilderness and complaining, as God was supplying them manna from heaven, water out of the law, and all the good things that the Lord gave them. And they complained, and the Lord said, serpents and among them, fiery serpents. And the people were in the camp. Multitudes feared them and were dead and were dying. And Moses commanded the Lord to make a brazen serpent and to exalt it away up high and to have men look to the serpent. It was a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ being lifted up. Why was that a serpent? Because at the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, and lifting up himself to death, Satan's works, and Satan is depicted as a serpent. And when he lifted this up, all who looked to that, in obedience to God, recognizing, yet for our sins, we are poisoned by these serpents. For our sins, we are dying. For our sins, God has given us a way of forgiveness. To recognize our guilt and look to this serpent, and we obey God. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks to Nicodemus. He said, look at thought about this. He showed him the real meaning. Nicodemus, it's all about me. It's all about me. And the scriptures, the teachings of the New Testament tells us that everything in the Old Testament is all about him. And the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing this man a teacher who failed to teach what he should have taught, which he, because he had never been taught properly himself, nor trusted. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, as that serpent was lifted up, so must I be lifted up at the cross. And there, Nicodemus, there, all your failure, there, Nicodemus, all your great achievements of nothing, there, that way of ruin which will bring you through, can be put to death, served from him, to walk away to him.
A new creation. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ came to us.
We can walk away from him, from everything which we have turned the most of it, everything which we have taken some such feeling of security in it, and think I'm okay. That which is born of the flesh, no matter how good, never ever becomes anything else but what all was flesh. And God is in the Spirit. And they that worship and our Lord Jesus Christ, who through us must worship in spirit and in truth. The truth is, we can achieve nothing in our own efforts. The Lord taught that to Nicodemus. The truth is, by our own efforts, no matter how great, we shall not see the kingdom of God. The truth is, unless we are born by the work of God, born of the Spirit, born as spiritual people, that kind of birth. Unless that happens, we shall never be in God's kingdom. And the Lord Jesus Christ has told that to be mission. We need to know all the benefits of things. We need to know that God is working. Have you been convicted of your sin, your self-righteousness? God's the one who convicts you. Like the one here. Have you come to know that Jesus Christ only has taken care of your sin? At the cross, like that certain thing that lifts us up, believe, understand all the ways that are working with it. All you need to know is that God has done it. Hear him. God assures us that this is the way that he saved us. He declares it for the work of his love. Look what God wants to say. The Son of Man shall be lifted, shall be lifted up, but whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, God loved the world in this way, that he gave his only begotten Son, not a religion, not a set of rules, a perfect man, Jesus Christ, one who would take our sins on himself at the cross, die for them. Our vile sins, our proud sins. Things that look good in themselves, which are of the flesh, not spiritual, and therefore condemned by God. He gave his only begotten Son to that cross, but whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Take notice, the Lord Jesus Christ was sitting with his teacher. He wasn't having a conversation or a debate. When he sat before this man sat before him. It was the most solemn atmosphere that he could ever imagine. Here was an eternal soul. Here was a man who was old. He could go at any time. Here was a man who had a burden of weight, and it was the most deceptive kind of sin. It was a thing that looked good. A follower of a religion. And the Lord looked into his heart. Declare his condition before him. The Lord loved this man and told him the truth and desired him to repent. He spoke about how that man was to be freed from his sin. It's interesting, when we go up to John chapter 19, we find Nicodemus there. And verse 38, I'll read this bit in close. And after this, this is after the crucifixion, the Lord Jesus Christ had taken Nicodemus to the cross, saying the Son of Man should be lifted up like the serpent, revealing to him where he could be severed to this life of proud sin. And here you find Nicodemus living where the Lord left him, and that great evangelistic message. At the cross the Lord is pointing to. And what does it say? And after this, after his crucifixion, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And say this, and there came also Nicodemus, and there came also, he came there, Richard the First came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh
and aloes, about 100 pounds weight.
Then to lay the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices and the myrrh of the Jews is divine. No true fellowship. These are men who come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and then remain secret believers for a while. At the cross, fellowship starts, open fellowship. And when we come to the cross, like Nicodemus, we're severed from our past, made free to walk on an open fellowship, even in danger. There was St. Nicodemus at the cross of Jesus, where the Lord had pointed. Let me tell you, if you're outside of Christ tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is pointing you to Christ. Not to this world, not to our religion, your religion, any other religion. The Lord Jesus Christ is pointing you to the cross, where you have your sins crucified. And the body of Jesus, severed and made free, that you may be a new creation through Him. If you come to the cross of Jesus, if you come in your heart and mind to recognize that the death of Jesus Christ, God's Son, was for your sins, all your sins, your violent proud sins, your so-called great sins. And you come there, the Lord Jesus Christ will pardon your sins, will sever them from you and set you free. And you will walk away the same person, one going on in the flesh, which was the case beforehand, out of the spiritual death, through trusting in Him to save your soul, through trusting in Him who rose again to give you that resurrection life. That's what the Lord calls us to. Why? For God so loved the world. God so loved us. May the Lord bless you and give you the grace of the time to Him. From whatever it is, keeping you back. And you need the blessing of Jesus Christ for us, Son. Let's go in prayer. Our blessed Redeemer, Father, we thank you tonight again for the Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for what He has done at the cross. Thank you, Father, for all the manner of sin that was laid upon Him. Father, thank you, Lord our God, for the fact that we need not understand all things which you have left in your own hand to work out, and have planned it from eternity, and made it simple that we only need to hear you. Listen, trust and obey you. Resting in the fact that our sins have been dealt with by Jesus at the cross, that we should not be punished for them, that we trust in Him. And that, Lord Father, trusting in Him, you may walk in new life through the working of your Spirit. Grant, Lord, that all here and there, are there any out of Christ that might be, that they may, Lord, come to Him, even as Nicodemus did at the end. And Father, we pray that you would bless for Jesus.